The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're looking live at Dallas, Texas, where everybody excited about maybe one of the best Final Fours we've had in many, many years. We've heard about so many of the great matchups, LSU and, of course, South Carolina, the defending champion there, as is Steffi Sorensen, who's covering it for the network. Steffi, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. We've been watching the coverage all day, and I hate to break it down to two people, but the names you keep hearing are Caitlin Clark and obviously Aaliyah Boston. I know you've been talking about it forever, but tell us about why this one matchup has electrified the nation so far.
Well, Paul, to start, it's been a national debate of who is the best player in the country. And it's, you know, we got the best post player in Aaliyah Boston for the South Carolina Gamecocks, undefeated. And then Caitlin Clark, who's been electrifying with her ability to score the basketball and the way that she's been dishing out the ball this year. So I think the scoring ability of Caitlin Clark, the way that she can shoot from the logo, I think has drawn the eyes from people all over the country. And then the dominance from Aaliyah Boston in South Carolina. Can they continue to be undefeated? Can they go back-to-back? And they're going to be up against Caitlin Clark, the national player year. I think everybody, Paul, has been waiting to see this matchup because the way that Iowa scores and the way that South Carolina defends, it's going to be TV ratings gold, and you know I can't wait.
Yeah, so, I mean, I realize South Carolina's got a lot more on their team. So for Iowa to take this game late, which the odds makers do not expect, but many are hopeful that it will be that type of game. What do they need to do other than for her to make shots?
Well, it can't be her. It can't just be her. If you're South Carolina, if you limit her to 25 points, that's pretty good. And we're talking about limiting Caitlin Clark to 25. That's how good she is. It's got to be other players outside of Clark for Iowa. I mean, and they have capable shooters. They're one of the best offenses, if not the most efficient offense in the country. That's what I think makes this matchup so good, is you got the best defense versus the best offense. But I don't think Iowa has seen a defense like South Carolina just yet. The Big Ten has been really good. But when Monica Sozzano, their post player, turns, she's going to see 6'5", Aaliyah Boston, and she might see 6'7", Camilla Cardoso. So that will be different for her. So it cannot be just Caitlin Clark for Iowa. I don't think that is what their strength is. So I think it's got to be team basketball for Iowa. And they got to get on the glass. Paul, you've been watching South Carolina this year. They average 18 offensive rebounds a game. That's how they put opponents away. Iowa cannot afford to have that many offensive rebounds.
Steffi, South Carolina has not had many close calls. They went to overtime earlier in the season. They've had a couple of games that weren't out of hand early. Your thoughts on where this game goes and the flow of it and what it's going to look like in the end?
Well, the indicator, I thought their last game, South Carolina taking on Maryland, the pace of the game, I thought it favored Maryland because, you know, they got up and they guarded South Carolina. That's something that South Carolina hasn't necessarily been used to this year. And it was close for about three quarters. What I've said all along, and my partner over here, Alyssa Lang, is laughing at me, but it takes four quarters, 40 minutes to beat South Carolina. So, you know, can Iowa keep it close? Can they really compete with South Carolina? Yes. Can they do it for 40 minutes? It's been tough for a team to do that and win it, because I think the experience for South Carolina has just been overwhelming. They've been here. They've been to this big stage. They've won it. They're looking to do it again. Iowa's never been here. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind about this matchup.
Let's go to the other game. And Coach Mulkey was here earlier, and it is a great turnaround, and everyone's talking about it. Let's just talk about her for a second. What she has brought to that program and really to college basketball.
Well, I mean, Paul, is she not the most, you know, one of the most electrifying coaches in college basketball? Everybody lines up to see what outfit she's wearing. I mean, when you got a coach, you're talking about what she's wearing. You know, that's just been an added edge for LSU, a more interest. You know, she's won three titles, and I think in her second year, to get a brand new team to the Final Four, I mean, you could argue that this has been one of her most impressive coaching jobs. I mean, just from me watching her from afar in the Big 12, but coming to the SEC, she has players. She has gotten the most out of her players. That's been the most remarkable thing about watching Coach Mulkey in person, is just getting every bit of what she can out of a player like LaDaisha Williams, who came up big for them in the NCAA tournament. And then you got your superstar in Angel Reese, and the two of them just kind of feeding off each other, Paul. They have been so fun to watch because they both kind of coach each other. And I'm not used to seeing somebody get up in Kim Mulkey's face. Angel Reese will do that. And that's what has been so fun to watch.
Finally, Virginia Tech. They're somewhat of the forgotten team here, but they should not be overlooked. Tell us about them.
Well, they're very good offensively, but they can guard too. You know, that's what I think makes them super competitive here at the Final Four. And a name that maybe has not necessarily been talked about enough is Georgia Amor for Virginia Tech. She can absolutely stroke it. And I think LSU has got to defend her. If she gets loose, it could be a long night for Tiger fans. You know, they have got to guard Georgia Amor. But Liz Kitley, WNBA prospect, she's 6'6". So they like to play inside out, and they've got really good role players. Kenny Brooks has done a fantastic job with this team. And I think for LSU, ultimately, they've got to know where those two are. I mean, they've got to really defend. They've got to protect the three-point line and get some rebounds. And they can't afford, I don't think, to get off to a slow start. Virginia Tech's got too much experience with their senior class. And they've been playing together for a longer time than LSU. So that's a little bit of an intriguing wrinkle to this matchup, is the experience of playing together for Virginia Tech versus LSU, his basically a brand new team.
Steffi Sorensen live in Dallas. Many thanks, Steph. We appreciate it very, very much, as we will continue coverage throughout the day today and tomorrow leading up until the game. We are here having guests and your phone calls, and let's get back to the calls. And Will is up next from North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. It's MLB opening day, and I hate to pile it on, but I have yet to see Jim bat in any lineup so far. But
first of all, the old timers game is not until usually June at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I'm watching the Yankees and the Braves here, and he's not behind Aaron Judge or in front of him.
Well, I thought was he not hitting right before Aaron Judge today?
Yeah.
No? You're watching the game.
No. Okay. No, I don't see it.
I think he's got a back injury.
Oh, he must be on the IL.
Yeah, he patted himself on the back so much the other night after that last call that he's out for the year.
Yeah, I've yet to see him at all and take the play to the mound. But
I tell you where he better get moving is in the collar bracket. Right now he's behind Cat Daddy.
Well, who knows? Maybe he's out stirring up support or signing autographs. Ted Williams might be signing autographs. Who knows?
Well, you're right about that. Let me give you an update right now. We'll show you the updated bracket in a minute, and there is some news to pass along. Jim is facing Cat Daddy. Andre moves on from a no-name opponent, and Jerome knocks out Miss Pat. Right now, early returns in. There's still plenty of time, but Cat Daddy leads 63% to 36%. So Jim has his 36-38%, but he may have polarized anything other than his basic polarizing base. So we'll take a break. More to come. More updates on that as we move throughout the program.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Feinbaum, after what happened on Tuesday night, you really want Jim to be in that bracket? You should think about me. I never dropped any bombs on air. I'm just giving you just a piece of advice. I mean, come on, man. You got to find someone to replace him. Could be me, could be anyone you like to choose. I mean, that's the way how I feel. But that's your decision because you're the judge. And I'm being the lawyer to let you know what you should be doing. I have a question for you before I hang up. I don't want to waste too much time. My question is, since there's no football season, what do you normally do on weekends other than drinking beer with Randy Heritage? I know this is exactly what you're going to say. Other than drinking beer. Oh, by the way, it's 54. 54. Holla.
I think he's got you confused with somebody else, Randy. But anyway, we will.
I'm not Randy Heritage.
Yeah, his name is not Heritage, by the way. There is a Randy Heritage here, though.
Yes.
You're not Randy.
I'm
Heritage.
Not him.
Okay. I just wondered. I thought you were a little tall for him. Gary is up next. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I got a question. I don't hear a lot of people doing a comparison, but with Anthony Richardson climbing up the draft boards, can you see a little comparison between him and Joe Milton?
Well, I think Anthony Richardson has more innate talent, but I think we need to see consistency out of Joe Milton.
I completely agree. Like I said, I'm a diehard Tennessee fan. I'm also like a big critic too. Also, I've seen Joe Milton's basement, but I went to the Vanderbilt game last year, and I've never seen a quarterback stand flat-footed and just kind of flick it like. He wasn't even trying to throw it 75 yards, you know. If he hits his ceiling, he could be very.
I totally agree. And I am in. I didn't see the pro day today, but I still think Anthony Richardson is a gamble. It may turn out to be Lamar Jackson. He may also turn out to be a bust.
Right, I agree. One other question, kind of a little statement. Usually we play Georgia at the beginning of the year. Am I correct?
Tennessee, yeah. Here's what happened. That game, Georgia-Auburn used to be the last SEC game of the year for Georgia. They moved that game earlier in the year now. Where is Auburn on the Georgia? So the Tennessee schedule now has Georgia at the end. So that was a big switch. I think the Auburn now for Georgia is early. I don't know what Tennessee got in its place. So yeah, there it is. I'm thinking that's normally around the time of the where the Auburn game is. That used to be where the Tennessee game was, give or take a week or two. And that's really been the switch. I think it was done for drama, where the Tennessee-Georgia game is more important to the SEC East, obviously, than a game against the West. And it looms now as one of the, you know, whether it ends up being the game of the year, it certainly was last year. Remember last year, it was about 2 weeks earlier. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Ken is up next. Ken, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Long time no see.
Wonderful. Great to hear from you again.
Good to hear from you, Paul. Listen, I've been listening the last few days with about Dwayne over there in New Orleans. I mean, in Louisiana. And,
yeah.
You know, that boy there, I think he needs some psychiatric care there, Paul. I really do. I think he needs some real care. People been talking about him, and I'm doing the same, but I think if you get to talk to him again, you might want to ask him, look, can we give you some help, my friend?
We are not equipped to give every caller psychological help. Now, we do perform that service for a number of them. But I don't think we could handle him. I think he needs something that we don't have. Do we have electric shock here?
No.
Okay. No, we don't have that.
Well, I've been listening, Paul, and I don't want you to listen a lot during the basketball season. I'm just not a basketball fan. However, I listen to Dwayne.
Well, I have to say this about Dwayne. He has emerged as one of the most exciting callers we have. So we kid with him, but we really admire what he brings to the table. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Michael in Tennessee. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir. You sound great.
Thank you. I was wanting to know about Caleb Love. Do you think Coach Barnes would be over there at Tennessee, would be interested in getting him out of the portal, Caleb Love from University of Tennessee? North Carolina.
Yeah, I bet they would be interested in him. Is he going to leave? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, Caleb Love from North Carolina. He entered the transport portal a couple of days ago.
Okay. Yeah. I would think he would be a good prospect. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Rick Barnes knows how to identify talent. Myth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I was going to ask you about the Hooker kid, the quarterback for Tennessee. If he wouldn't have got hurt, do you think he would have been the number one quarterback in all college football?
Well, had he not been hurt, let's think about where Tennessee would have been. I'm going back to the South Carolina game. I don't think his injury cost them that game, if I remember correctly. So yeah, the game it was already trending toward a blowout. So that game would have certainly, I don't think he would have won the Heisman with that loss. I think that would have been too much for him to handle on top of the Georgia game, which hurt him. So no, the answer is I don't think he would have.
Right. Do you think, I guess my next question would be, do you think that he would be the better NFL quarterback out of everybody if he wouldn't have got hurt?
No, I don't think anyone could have done anything to supplant Bryce Young from that position. Now, the only contender is C.J. Stroud, and I think that's a more of a fit depending on your particular franchise. But to me, as a fan, I'm not an expert in terms of NFL scouting. Bryce Young is the best quarterback in the class.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I just was wanting to see what you said about Hooker. Is the NIL deals, are they causing Alabama to go on a downhill slide? Because if we're living in the now and not going off of resumes, I mean, Bama's hurting and Smart's taking over.
Well, Myth, I think there's some people that believe you on that. I don't think we know the answer yet, and you know, some would push back and say, listen, you just got through saying that, but Alabama had the best recruiting class in the country, so how did they have that?
How did they have the best recruiting class?
Yeah, if Kirby Smart has taken over.
Well, I think they didn't they get the quarterback from somewhere else? What was his name? Stennett?
I don't think they got a quarterback from somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Well, I might be wrong, but I do know that they've won the last two championships. That's what I was just saying. That.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying, but I think if Alabama had plummeted in recruiting. Now, remember, the recruiting was mostly wrapped up before the end of the season. So I think the better question is this. What happens next year? And already, and I know we are way too early to start proclaiming champions for next year in recruiting, but Georgia is having an epic early class in terms of commitment. So that's where I'm interested in. Not so much because these things tend to trail a year or two down the road. So what happens to Alabama in the next class or the class after that? And really, most important, what happens to them on the field? If they can get back in the playoff this year, if they can undo what happened last year, then I think all the concern about Alabama's future is unwarranted. But if they don't get back, then you've got something to talk about. Then that would mean that it would be 3 years that Alabama has not won a title, and that would be the first time in the Saban tenure that it has gone that long. He's had a couple of 2 year gaps, but not a 3 year gap.
Yeah, I agree. Talking about next year's class, them cats are going to be strong next year. Thanks, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you, Myth. Matt is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to, it's great to be on your show, number one, but wanted to give my stepfather a quick happy birthday shout out. He's turning 76 today. Great guy. He was on the, played baseball at Auburn. He was on the 1967 SEC championship team. And, you know, he's talked about that many times and looks back on that with fond memories. Anyway, I just wanted to give him a quick shout out today. Happy birthday to Jim. And hope he's doing good. And thanks for all you do, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. And happy birthday as well. 76 is still young.
Yep.
Unless you're coaching football. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We are here on a Thursday afternoon. Been a busy one so far. A couple of trips to Dallas for the women's Final Four. And Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Are you kin to the hidden or toad?
I think so, yes.
I mean, honestly, these people call in with a thought one way, and by the time you have finished the call, you have changed their way of thinking completely. Logan called in just a little while ago. Now, 10 minutes before he called, you made the comment that three or four clergy have called about Jim. First thing Logan says is, Paul, have you noticed that three or four clergy have called in? And then he asked you, was this upcoming game with South Carolina and Iowa and the two stars reminiscent of Magic and Larry Bird? And you said, and you could tell he thought it was. And then you said no because of the name value. And sure enough, he switches and agrees with you. You do that to so many people so often.
Well, Mitch, my goal is not to change people's minds, but I think in Mitch's case, he really didn't. Once he heard someone explain why that was a bad comparison without me saying that was a bad comparison, he felt the best thing to do was let go of his half-baked theory.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying you do it daily on a daily basis. But that's what makes the older callers somewhat more popular is they will not back off of their
right.
Their
no, I okay, I hear what you're saying. They will, and by the way, I'm not really trying to, I mean, he asked me the opinion. The difference is the older callers, you know what they do or don't do? They don't ask my opinion. They don't care.
Well, that's true.
Because they've already made up their minds, and they're, I mean, you don't hear the artist from Tuscaloosa ever saying, now, what do you think? Now, he will say, because he's insecure, he'll say, now, you agree with me, don't you?
And you politely disagree.
Well, have you ever had a friend, Mitch, or of any kind, and the easiest thing to do is just to nod your head and say, oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, it's kind of like that old saying, if you had a friend that had something sticking out of their nose, would you tell them?
Yeah. If it was Jim, I would not, by the way.
I guess you're right. But I just wanted to find out where you have this hypnotism medicine. I want some of it.
Well, Mitch, I'll be happy to share it with you. We can it's not a state secret what we do here. This is a mind-altering show.
Okay. Thank you much, and you have a good day.
Mitch, you be well. Take care of yourself. Steve is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Why not?
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to disagree with you on something. I'm older, and I respect your opinion.
Okay.
I'm in my 70s. What I'd like to know is, Paul, watching the NCAA tournament, I watched UT Coach Barnes at times substitute four players, and the same thing with Calipari. Now, I've been watching basketball for 60 years, and it's my humble opinion that you play the five best you got as much as you can. I watched Iowa State girls, most of them go the whole game. Now, don't you think these coaches making $6 million bucks a year are yo-yoing a little too much with their players? Your opinion.
No, I agree with you on that completely. I think the only reason you would not play them is either early foul trouble, or somebody's nursing an injury, or somebody just needs a very quick break. Quick.
I 100% I agree. And how a kid like that to come, a kid that scores 27 points one night, he hardly saw the floor the next. Was he mad at him or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you might take a player who's played the first 17, 18 minutes of the half. I mean, you might take them out just to give them an extra 5 or 10 minutes for the second half. But yeah, listen, there are nights when I have no idea what Cal is doing,
but,
and I'm not sure he does.
In this day and time, with the TV timeouts. Hell, they get 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Especially at the end. I mean, no player should be tired at the end of the game, because the last 3 minutes of the game takes an hour.
Absolutely. And what I couldn't understand is every time I look up, the Sheba was down there on the blocks open. He had moved his man out. And Kentucky's guards don't get him the ball.
No.
I'd put the student manager in and tell him, you better throw him the ball.
Steve, I agree. By the way, we agree on most of it. What's the view on Cal right now after two early exits in a row?
I think he ought to go somewhere and recruit and quit coach. I don't think he can coach. He's a hell of a recruiter.
Yeah.
But he gets some of the wildest combinations out there I've ever seen.
I would think I know he's got really good assistants. Can't somebody just say, Cal, at halftime, stay in the locker room, and we'll handle it from here, okay? We got
it. Don't think so.
You sit in the locker room and set up some recruiting visits while we coach the game.
Yeah. Oh, you've got the answer. That's the answer right there. But one other thing quickly. I remember quite the old days. Ruts, five of them played the whole game.
Oh, sure.
Bernie and Ernie played the whole game.
They sure did.
Are these kids out of shape, or they just don't know how to play them now? In this day and time.
No, I don't think they're out of shape. I mean, if you're 19 years old and you play college basketball, you're in shape. I mean, basketball, you can loaf off in football because there's only X number of plays, but you can't be out of shape in basketball.
I agree with everything you've said completely. And if they want to pay me $1 million, I'll go up and take over Kentucky and guarantee better results.
Yeah, I mean, now listen, I mean, you can be out of shape in a lot of things and have a moderate amount of success, namely being a talk show host. I mean, I'm gasping for breath right now after that call. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, and welcome back. I appreciate you being here. And Bubba is up next.
What's shaking, Paul?
Bubba.
Woo! Randy. Hey, man, you forced my hand, Paul. I'd swore off getting a Twitter account for a long time, but I found out the only way I could help push this bracket, I had to get an account. So I'm pushing Cat Daddy and Jerome to the front, brother.
Yeah, I'm about to get rid of my Twitter account the way things are going.
Yeah, I hated to have to create one. Of course, I may get rid of it after this.
Well, let me tell you something about your Twitter account, Bubba. You don't have to look at it.
True. Yeah, thank God. Hey, I got a question for you, though.
Okay. Yeah, of course. I mean, do I have a choice?
They've already dropped my call a couple of times today. I'm just making sure I wasn't getting sent to Never Never Land.
Bubba, you are Randy's closest friend among our callers, so you're never going anywhere.
That's right. Hey, Randy's the man, brother. Hey, Dabo's hired this new offensive coordinator. I was reading an article, and he stated somewhere that they were wanting to run a Josh Heupel Tennessee-style offense. Do you think he can pull that off?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, this guy may be Lincoln Riley's brother, but he's not Lincoln Riley.
True.
Yeah, exactly. And I know the boy's probably a pretty good coach, but I don't see him putting that together.
And by the way, you know what you need for a Josh Heupel offense?
Josh Heupel.
Well, you do need Josh Heupel, but you also need a quarterback that understands it.
Yeah, that's true, too. But I'm going to tell you something about Heupel and his staff. They're developing these guys. You look what he inherited from Cornbread and out of the transfer portal. He didn't take a bunch of five stars and go 11-2 last year.
You're right. Hey, Bubba, did I tell you what I saw the other day? I was reading, I think it was Mandel, and he had a hot seat column of all the coaches. And are you ready for this one? Let me see if you can grab this for me. Making his second appearance on the hot seat column, he has gone, I can't remember, 3-9, 4-8, 2-10. Who is he? Do you know who he is?
Who?
Butch Jones.
Is there
anybody surprised that Butch Jones is once again on the hot seat in college football?
Yeah, Butch Jones should even be coaching high school. He needs to be down there with Nick analyzing something.
He was so good at that, too.
Yeah, all he wanted to do is go smoke a cigar because he was never going to smoke one coaching Tennessee.
Thank you, Bubba. Bubba just ran out of gas there. He said, yeah, I've done it all. Hey, thank you, Bubba. Phil is up next in Georgia. Hello, Phil.
How you doing, Coach? How's everything your way, man?
It is great. Thank you for checking in with me.
Yes, sir. You keep it riding straight, I hope.
We're doing great.
Best you can.
Look here, Coach. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
How much control does the head coach of a program have over the scheduling of their team?
None.
I had often wondered about that. Well, I'm a Georgia fan, but I'm a big fan of Alabama and Coach
now,
Hider.
Now, I mean, as soon as I answered you, Phil, the top flight coaches, the Sabins, the Kirby Smarts, people like that, they will be consulted by the athletic director saying, okay, you know, we have a chance at playing Clemson next year. Do you want to do that? But ultimately, they have nothing to do with the SEC schedules. And they are, you know, the less than elite coaches don't have any say-so, because those are all financial situations. But the top coaches will be consulted.
Well, here's where I was going with this.
Okay.
I get so tired of year after year after year of hearing people criticize Georgia or criticize Alabama because of the people on their schedule. They don't think that we play strong enough teams. And I'm first to admit, some of the teams we play, I mean, yeah, they're not a big draw, and I understand that. But to me, if I was in charge of that, it would come down to a thing of trust for me.
Well, speaking of Georgia, though, Georgia has probably played the toughest schedule of anybody non-conference. They had Notre Dame. They had a home and home with Notre Dame. They played Clemson a couple of times. Oregon, they were supposed to play Oklahoma this year, but that game had to be scrapped. And that's why everyone is going to beat up on Georgia for its schedule this year, and they had nothing to do with it. They had Oklahoma on the schedule.
Well, and I'd like to look at it from this point. I think to me, if I'm the head guy at Alabama, if I'm the head guy at Georgia, it comes down to a thing of trust. It's sort of like the stud quarterback taking an ugly girl to the prom. You can bet your last meal
okay.
That girl's got some money, you know.
Yeah.
But it would come down to a thing with me of trust. If I'm the head guy at Alabama and USC calls me and wants to play, or Ohio State calls, or Michigan, or whoever, well, with the non-conference schedules having such a big part in the ranking on and determination on who gets into the playoffs, you know, then I would have to think that I would really have to trust.
Yeah, you know something, Phil. I think the when you play a big time non conference opponent, I think it helps you more than it hurts you. Because I mean, I remember when we get into the playoff conversation, and this will be the last year we do that. A lot of times you'll talk about, well, you know, they played so and so, but it was a close game. Thank you very much for your call. Andy is in Arkansas. Good afternoon, Andy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I want you to talk me through some of my thought process. First of all, let me go back in history a little bit when people were saying, how could NATO's allow 3-for-27 on three-point shooting when it just wasn't working? And to me, that's a little bit of arrogance. And you get a lot of SEC, you know, top-tier coaches doing that. And also, we saw that arrogance exhibited on display during the Jamia Harris thing. And I want to touch a little bit on NIL, if I may. Your conversation was, about Calipari, and the caller said, you know, why would you take four people out and, you know, put people in? Yes, there's all the parameters you talked about. I think because of the NIL, you got to play these guys. Or they're going to walk. They're going to transfer. So you got to find a way to sit them in a game. And also, there's a lot of coaching. You got to figure out what you got. It's not working. But I think with an NIL era, it's a double-edged sword. So you got to get those players in. You know they will transfer. But also, with the Final Four, that's NIL. We're in third year on this, Paul?
Yeah, it started in July of 21. You know something, Andy? You've made a really good point because if a guy never gets in the game, he is definitely out of there. Thank you very much for that. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough in a couple of minutes. He's interviewed Lane Kiffin. He's got some thoughts on a couple of other programs as well, including Alabama, right around the corner.